Washington 30, Giants 29. Welcome to Talking Giants. I'm presented by DraftKings. I'm your host, Bobby Skinner, here with my co-host, Justin Penick. And man, this might be the most painful episode we've ever done. Like, last year, Thursday Night Football versus the Eagles was tough. It was tough, but man, that one was later in the season. And there's so much to hit on. There's so many things. And it's frustrating because Daniel Jones played a great game. But it's just, I feel let down, dude. I feel let down after all that went into this offseason for the New York Giants. After what we were told was going to be good and be disciplined, and we bought in. And it just feels like it's all deflating. You know, it feels like week two. It's where, you know, 4-5 days into the season, and it feels like it's over. You know, and that's what it feels like recording this at 1 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah. What's most disappointing about all of this, is that we were most confident in the things that are failing right now. Failing. We were most confident in this team being well coached. We were most confident in this team being disciplined. We were most confident in the team doing the little things right. And that starts at the top with Joe Judge.
And well, that, and the defense.
And the defense. And this is a poorly coached team that has a lot of money going into players that are not doing enough. It is bad. It is bad. Red flag in all facets and all assets of things. Poorly coached team that looks confused, that looks lost, that doesn't understand situational awareness. That's the team. And the coaches certainly look lost as well with their situational awareness. Bad. Couldn't get any worse.
Yeah. Well, we got a lot. We got some stuff to get to. So let me get this out of the way. Week one may be over, and week two has started and broken my heart. But the season's just getting started at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. To kick off week two, DraftKings is giving new customers $200 in free bets instantly when they bet $1 in any football game. Listen up, because you don't want to miss this. Head to DraftKings Sportsbook app now and place a bet of $1 on any week two game, to receive $200 in free bets instantly. If Sportsbook is not yet available in your state, DraftKings still has huge cash prizes up for grabs all season long with their daily fantasy contests. DraftKings is giving all new customers a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code JohnBoy to receive $200 in free bets when you place a $1 bet on any football game. That's promo code JohnBoy this week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older, New Jersey, Indiana, or Pennsylvania only, new customers only. Minimum $5 deposit and $1 wager required. One per customer. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER or in Indiana, 1-800-9 with it. All right, so where do we start? Because usually on game recaps, it's very much like, all right, we talk about the offense first, and then we talk about the defense. But in this game, I just feel like we have to just talk about the game, you know, and not so much analyzing, but just kind of like trying to figure out what's wrong. And because there's things, some stuff is broken. And I do want to start with football, though, you know, and maybe less about, like, you know, penalties and just can we start about, do you want to start with the defense or penalties? Because the penalties feels kind of like gimmicky sports radio talk, even though it's real. And the defense, we can point to stuff.
Yeah, I feel like everybody wants us to start talking about the defense. So let's do that.
Well, I mean, Taylor Heinicke carved up this Giants defense, and this defense was supposed to be good. You know, they were the 9th-ranked defense last year, and they were supposed to be good and not, you know, get better as the season went along like they did last year. Like, last year, they got better as the season went. But this year, they were supposed to be just flat-out good.
Teddy Bridgewater and Taylor Heinicke.
Heinicke went 34 of 46, 336 yards, 2 touchdowns, and a pick. And, you know, when they handed the ball off to their running back, 17 carries for 79 yards, over 4.5 yards per pop out of their running back. So they were able to, you know, run the ball when they wanted to. And here's what I'll say about the defense, Justin, is that besides the James Bradbury interception, and that James Bradbury interception came after probably his worst game as a Giant, where he allowed 11 catches, 107 yards, and 1 touchdown. And he is the most important player on this defense. The most important player on this defense is James Bradbury. And we expect greatness now out of him. you know, we expect other players to be good. But James Bradbury, we kind of expect greatness every single week. He gave up 11 catches, 107 yards, and a touchdown to Terry McLaurin. But he did have that interception. So, you know, it was a bad game, but he did have that interception. But other than that, Azeez Ojulari, the rookie, who's not even officially a starter, one sack and one tackle for loss. That was it. There was not a single sack. There was not a single tackle for loss after that. I mean, this is a team with some high-priced playmakers on this defense. They got Blake Martinez. He's supposed to be a playmaker. He didn't make any plays tonight. Logan Ryan, did he make any plays tonight? No. Did Jabril Peppers make any plays tonight? Even though I'm a little frustrated that he's getting his playing time taken away. And I guarantee if it's frustrating me, it's frustrating him. Did he make any plays tonight? No. Did Leonard Williams make any plays tonight? No. Did Dexter Lawrence make any plays? No. He had a really bad penalty at the end of the game, if you don't remember it. Dexter Lawrence had one tackle. Adoree Jackson. I mean, he got Moss for a touchdown in the corner of the end zone. Xavier McKinney, year two. Got drafted high in the second round. Did he do anything tonight? You know?
No.
So if we had lost by Darnay Holmes giving up catches in the slot, or, you know, or we blitz and guys didn't get home, it's a little bit more understandable because it's like, well, that's what the personnel is. They don't have guys on the edge right now. But none of the playmakers made plays, and that comes back to Patrick Graham. You know, it's hard to evaluate exactly what went wrong on TV. You know, I think people will point to, well, soft zone. But it's, they got it. I'm not even going to try and figure out what exactly went wrong, like Patrick Graham scheme wise from watching TV, but it went wrong. And Yep. They're like, it was supposed to be good. So it start, like you said at the beginning, it starts at the top and it goes down through the bottom through the players. These guys need to make plays and they need to be put in positions to make plays.
Yeah. You know, there are times where you feel like they're close to making a pass deflection, and those are pass deflections you thought that they would make last year, but instead they go for 15-yard gains. And then there are times where guys are just wide open. You allow stuff underneath where last year they would come up and they would make tackle. They would prevent the yards after the catch, and it would be limited. Well, this year the yards after the catch is more. It's happening more. You know, it's going for five plus or more yards, and they're, you know, the intermediate part of the game is available to other teams. So, You listed it. All those guys. And I look at Lorenzo Carter. I look at all these guys that are rushing the passer. That nobody has a move. Nobody has a move that they can go to that allows them to get free. And they talked about it on, you know, I think Bob Papa or Carl Banks, they were talking about where if Patrick Graham wants to bring a blitz, you got to do it sparingly. You got to do it sparingly because if you don't win, then you get burned on the back end. And that's why coverage is so important. But they're bad. They're bad. And I hate that I'm at a loss for words right now, but it's just bad all around. You know, Graham is clearly doing something different than what he did last year. And clearly, the upgraded players and year two in the system, they should be astronomically better. The edge room should be 10 times better. O'Shane Zimenez hasn't made a single pass rushing move besides playing second string, third string starters in the preseason. Hasn't made a single move to get back there. And he's played more snaps than he deservedly should, in my opinion. He was out there on a lot of rushing snaps. I'm not going to remember if he got blown up on a specific play, but it's bad. They're bad.
Carter hasn't made a play. Azeez is the only guy. Like, he had a sack to start the game,
yep,
which was huge on third down, and then I don't know where the tackle for a loss came in. It probably was kind of just a nothing play. But yeah, man, and I think, and it's hard to tell from TV, and I know this episode we don't want to get too nerdy, but it seems like Patrick Graham is trying to do what Brandon Staley did with the Rams last year. And they're trying to do too high stuff. And they're disguising coverages, but they're kind of getting to everything as base as a too high cover two, cover four look. Where last year, it was cover three. So, like, I don't know. It's hard to say from TV, but it's just like I'm frustrated with what's happening with the defense. You know, like last week, I gave them a pass because it's like, you know what? They've earned they've earned a little bit of slack. It was week one. And again, you know, this defense has good players, you know? So, like, it should not be for the rest of the year like this, you know? Like, it should change and get better, you know? And you know, I know it's always very reactionary, but it's like, I don't hate Patrick Graham. I don't like what I've seen these first 2 weeks, but I don't hate Patrick Graham. And I'm not, like, you know, being like, oh, you know, all those things we said about him were wrong. No, what he did last year doesn't, I'm not discrediting him for that. But right now, whatever they're doing, it's not working. And yeah. their playmakers are not making plays. But, you know, Bradbury has a very high bar, and he's not even coming close to meeting it right now. You know, no. He's not even like, it'd be one thing if it's like, oh man, Bradbury is not like dominating the way he was last year. But right now he's just losing, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. They're guys aren't making plays on the football. I mean, that was the common theme last year. You know, Dory Jackson had two pass deflections today. They're not making plays on the football at the same rate they were. They're getting there late. They're reacting late. And it's because it's a scheme, all this, that, I don't know. They're getting there late. They're allowing completions and they're not getting home. So. It's a bad formula. Taylor Heineke, Teddy Bridgewater. And the crazy thing is that Matt Ryan is the best quarterback that we've played all, you know, yet this season, and he's bad. He's going to be the best quarterback that we're going to play so far this season, week three, next week, and he's bad now. He can't throw the ball down the field.
Yeah, it's frustrating, you know. And Heineke's like a fun player, you know, but it's like he throws a very soft ball. He throws guys high, you know. And, you know, the Adore touchdown, I mean, that was a beautiful throw. I give Heineke all the credit on that one. But
he's got guts. He's got guts.
It's just, no one made plays, man.
Nope.
And, let's transition that because we're talking about Patrick Graham, the defense, and I feel like that's a natural transition to Joe Judge. Stuff's going to start turning, man. It just is. You know,
no, it already has. It has.
Well, and it will happen from within, man. It happens quick. You think it won't, but it happens quick. You know, we say a lot of things, and then when stuff starts happening in the season, they have to turn this around. I mean, look at this: a false start, then a sack. It would have been a 44-yard field goal, punting. That's minus 3 points. Now, here's what I will not overreact though is like CJ Board didn't hold on that Daniel Jones touchdown.
Right.
You know, so it's like, can I be like, Joe Judge, discipline? Like, CJ Board didn't hold on that penalty. The Slayton drop, that's not being undisciplined. That's just having a drop. But that's minus 4 points. The holding penalty, that's minus 4 points. And then Dexter Lawrence jumping off sides, that's minus 3 points. So I'm not joining the, like, oh, he taught undisciplined, you know, like he talks about this undisciplined, like the Dexter Lawrence, like that's the, like, I can't blame Joe Judge for Dexter Lawrence jumping at that snap. You know, like, I'm sorry. I just can't. I know we want to, and it seems like the easy target right now, but I'm not doing that. I blame him for a very conservative mindset for this team. That's what I will say on defense and offense. And that's my issue with Graham is like that last drive. It was like, come on, man. I know you're trying to stop them from getting down the field and you don't want to get burnt the way you did versus Philly last year in the Dallas game last year. But it's like, man, they're just moving it easily underneath. It's like, I can make these passes underneath. So that's with that, I think that's the Judge mindset. And offensively, we'll talk about it, how they ended the game. I think that's a Judge mindset. Like, I'm not putting that last three plays on Jason Garrett, I'm putting that on Joe Judge.
Yeah, Kim, can I play that soundbite right now?
Go for it.
All right, I got it.
Yeah, that had nothing to do with not trusting Daniel. It was also trusting our run game as well, and trusting the offensive line up front to, you know, open some seams and get it moving. We talk all the time about the strategy of what to do in that situation. That's obviously one of the things that, you know, you go back and forth on. I think ultimately it's, you know, you want to control it as much as you can, ensure the points you have, not put yourself in position for a negative play. You know, obviously on third down, we threw that ball right there. There was a lot of trust in our offense right there to go ahead and do it. It would have been easy to, you know, go out there and run the ball one more time. And that's not saying that's the right or wrong move. A lot of teams do that, have a lot of success. We've done that before and have plenty of success. So, you know, we felt that time that was the best thing for us. We had confidence in our run game, confidence in our offensive line, confidence in the quarterback when we called his number on third down. So, you know, in terms of how we do it, like, we finished that situation there. We had to turn around and play the next situation coming up.
Bobby, the Giants on 1st and 10 today had 8 rushes. They had 1 total yard. They didn't average 1 yard per rushing attempt on 1st and 10. They had a total of 1 yard. They felt confident in their running game there. Rushing under center, which they didn't do a lot throughout the majority of the game. They actually had somewhat of an effectiveness running out of the shotgun with the option of Daniel Jones and then Saquon Barkley, and when you run out of the shotgun, there's less likely for guys to be in the box. But on 1st and 10, they had 8 rushing attempts for 1 yard. And your quarterback had one of the best games of his career. I would say maybe the 3rd or the 4th best game of his entire career. And you run the ball twice under center.
It's playing to not lose and not playing to win.
Like which they were was not- that, which I'm sorry, that was something that I preached last year, and I got criticized at times. You know, even there were some situations this game where I was actually fine with the 4th down decision-making this game because the Giants were actually moving the ball, and I was confident in their ability to put the ball in the end zone the next time that they got the ball. So I was fine with, you know, kicking field goals. You know, there was a 4th and 2. in the red zone, and they kicked the field goal. Where if there's one where it's debatable, it's like, yeah, you got to go for that, maybe, especially when the offense was actually moving the ball and you felt good. Maybe you spread it out and Daniel Jones puts the ball in the end zone. But I preached about it last year, and I felt I was criticized for it. Joe Judge doesn't trust this. Joe Judge doesn't trust that. What's the excuse now? There is no excuse. That's unacceptable. That lost you the game. Lost you the game. I understand, you know, Dexter Lawrence too, and you can have the whole pile list and the defense not being good. Yes, but that single-handedly right there, where the one strength that you had this game was your quarterback. Really, that was the strength of this football game. And in the most critical part of the game, you chose not to use your quarterback, and you chose to do something where you had 8 rushing attempts on first down and 1 yard total. Not
they're expecting
per attempt.
The run here too. And they're expecting the run here too. Yes. And think about, and not just like that, think about the situation. Bradbury has that interception. Washington had all 3 timeouts and the 2-minute warning. The clock was going to stop. Okay. If you didn't get the first down, they were going to have 2 minutes left there.
And they would have only needed a field goal. They didn't, it's not like they needed a touchdown. So if you want to have a team that wants to burn timeouts, I can understand if the opposing team needs a touchdown. But the fact that they need a field goal and they're going to have 2 minutes to go, even with no timeouts left. I mean, Washington was taking a piss and working their way up to midfield this game.
Yes, and they had done it all game too, you know? So it's not like they held them strong on defense all game. And then it's like, wow, they really moved the ball well. It's like, no, they moved the ball well all night. And like you said, if they were up by 4 points and the field goal puts them up by 7, I'm okay with that approach, but you weren't. You were down. You were down 2 points. And like you said, all they needed was a field goal. It was coaching scare. It was coaching scare to go run pass. And then you have an incompletion, and it ends up, Shep, who balled out, drops a ball on 3rd down, which would have been short of the sticks anyways, and the clock stops, and you give them over 2 minutes, a timeout, and the 2-minute warning now. Like, they don't have to burn their 3rd timeout.
You know, maybe if you didn't put your quarterback in a 3rd and 7 situation, you know, maybe you can make it a little bit of an easier throw on a 3rd and short. Or if you threw it on 2nd.
Yeah, well, they blitz. Down. And it's 3rd and 7. It's like, well, you don't want him to make a mistake. Like, you know, like, that's going through. It's like, I can't be too ballsy on this 3rd down. You know? It's like, I need to get the ball out quick, and I can't be too ballsy, you know? Yeah. He threw it to the right guy, and Shep just dropped it, you know? And it would have been short by a yard anyway, so it wouldn't have mattered. You know, and he had to get the ball out quick because they blitzed.
And it just goes back to the critique that I also had last week, too. There is a lack of awareness on this coaching staff as to what works and what does not work. Complete and utter refusal to acknowledge that Daniel Jones is a very good deep ball thrower. Bobby, I'm pretty sure it took him over a quarter and a half for Daniel Jones to actually throw the ball more than 15 air yards. You know, there is just there's blinders for whatever reason. And I don't know, I'm sick and tired of hearing that, oh, it is Daniel Jones. They don't believe in him. How much does he need to show you that he can do it in certain situations? I'm not saying he's perfect. It's not Mahomes. It's not Aaron Rodgers. It's not Justin Herbert. It's not all these guys. Not Russell Wilson. But how much does lack of awareness?
He balled out tonight. And they should have put the game in his hands.
And they didn't. You
know, he went 22 of 32, had 249 yards, a touchdown. Should have been 2 passing touchdowns. You know, Darius Slayton has a drop in the end zone. So it should have been a 300-yard game with 2 touchdowns. He had 9 carries for 95 yards and a touchdown. It should have been a 100-plus yard rushing game with 2 touchdowns. He balled out. You know, and it wasn't just like simple stuff. Like, he was hanging there in the pocket. And I will say, and I decided we'll wait to the end to talk about Nick Gates. Let's get the football stuff out, and then we could finish off talking about Nick, because I feel so bad for him. But the O-line, for the most part, they weren't perfect, gave him time to move. And Jones looks better moving in the pocket, too. Like, he was hanging in there and getting some tight throws in there. And Shep was, like Shep is pissed off they drafted a slot wide receiver, you know, which we can even talk about that if we want to. And he balled out. And you know, it's from the TV, like, it looked like Garrett, like, they weren't running stick a ton. You know, and the one time they did run stick, you know, it was that play where Shep was wide open in the flats on that third down, you know, and everyone was like, why didn't Jones throw there? That was stick, and I hate stick, but Rudolph screwed that up. Rudolph should have ran as stick as you either hook curl versus zone, you find the hole and you turn around, or you run an out versus man, and he just turns around. You know, so Daniel Jones is totally expecting him to, you know, run that out, be open versus man coverage, and he just turns around into a defender. Like, Kyle Rudolph is the worst signing of this offseason, by the way. Like, yeah. I don't feel like that's overreactionary. He's bad. He's slow. He's unathletic. I don't see him adding much as a blocker. Caden Smith, honestly, is disrespect. Like, they should have went stay with Caden Smith. They should have just went with Caden Smith.
Yeah.
And done Ingram, Caden Smith. You know, it didn't make sense at the time. We were like, what our talking points like, it makes sense if they trade Ingram, but like having Ingram and Rudolph, and he just looks really bad. You know, like, if when you watch him play last year, he looks like he's taking a step down, and I'm sure the foot injury had something to do with that. But anyways, that's my rant getting off on the stick. But it's like, there were some things, you know, there's always game, like, and here's what I'll say. And here's what I'll say in defense of Jason Garrett, because I have been railing against Jason Garrett, and I agree with everything I've said the previous days. Like, I do. Like, I don't think Jason Garrett will ever be an advantage as an offensive coordinator. But nitpicking this game would be just playing the results that we lost.
No, you can't.
Things I disagree with in this game. Where, like, I didn't like this. You know, they lined up in like wing T on one play, and they had a second and 15 draw. So there's things you could point at, but you can point at those things in kind of every game when you lose.
Yeah.
And that's when I get mad at, like, sports radio. Like, that's when I was getting mad at the Pat Shurmur stuff in 2019. It's like, you guys are just mad we're losing, and you're finding every little thing to pick on him for instead of finding the actual things that are wrong.
Yeah.
Anyways, I don't know where I started.
No, well, here, I'll bring it back with Jones and Garrett. Jones's average time to throw was 2.79 seconds. His average last year was 2.76 seconds. That's above average. He had time, and he was manipulating the pocket well. So, I mean, it's kind of crazy that the two biggest concerns that most Giants fans, and even just, I'm talking just regular casual level Giants fans, that, you know, maybe didn't have the critique of Jason Garrett. Most casual level Giants fans said that Daniel Jones and the offensive line are the two biggest concerns. They're the least of our problems to start this season outside of a Daniel Jones fumble last week. So that's kind of crazy. His intended air yards was 10.8, almost 11 yards. That's really high. His average yards to the sticks was 0.5, which means that on average, he was throwing a half a yard ahead of the sticks. We love that. We love to see that. Obviously, when you produce some explosive plays here and there, that, you know, the Darius Slayton almost 50-yard touchdown, it may skew that number a little bit, but you have to count it, right? And on average, this is what really impresses me the most. The fact that he had almost a 70% completion rate, and he was throwing the tight windows on 30% of his passing attempts. He had an aggressiveness percentage, according to Next Gen Stats, of 28.1%. That's insane. That's insane. Dude was good.
This was when the Giants drafted him. This was the Daniel Jones I fell in love with. This was him, you know, and this was when you saw the rookie year, you saw the flashes, and you're like, he's got to clean up some other stuff. And this was that game. This was him showing that stuff, using his legs and cleaning up the bad stuff. That was this game from Daniel Jones, man. And I feel so bad that it just goes wasted. It goes wasted, you know, and Slayton has that big touchdown. And I read the ad, because I want to talk about Kenny Golladay.
All right. Let's read the ad. Look, no one's perfect.
Not even
a lot of people on the Giants aren't. A lot of people on the Giants aren't perfect tonight. Even the best baseball players strike out with the bases loaded. The best golfers sometimes three putt with the tournament on the line. Even Joe Judge, who we love with all of our hearts, even he's going to call a run on first and second down. Even though the Giants had a total of one rushing yard on all first down attempts tonight. So if you feel like you're coming up short in the bedroom, which I got to tell you what, if I had a pretty lady in my room right now and I was asked to perform tonight, I don't know if I would. I'm a little.
These are the types of nights where she performs for you, where it's like I'm just gonna lay back and you perform. You and the Roman are gonna perform.
Guess what? It's perfectly okay. But if it's bothering you, like it would be bothering me, there's options. Go to GetRoman.com/JohnBoy right now. With Roman, you get a free online evaluation on ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort and the privacy of your home. U.S. licensed healthcare professional. They'll work with you to find the best treatment plan. If medication is appropriate, it ships to you free with two-day shipping. Whole process is straightforward and discreet. Getting started is simple. Go to GetRoman.com/JohnBoy. Complete an online visit. Take care of ED without leaving your home. I hate leaving my home. However, this weekend, I think I need to get out. I need to get out of this house. I need to get away from my computer, looking at some stats for a little bit this weekend. Yeah, go to the beach. Complete an online visit today, connect with the doctor, and take care of it. Go to GetRoman.com/JohnBoy now to get $15 off your first month. There's a straightforward way to take care of your ED. GetRoman.com/JohnBoy. Get started now. Save $15 off your first month of treatment. Thank you, Roman.
All right, so Kenny Golladay. 3 catches for 38 yards. Just targeted 8 times. He had a big time drop on that RPO, which would have got them down into like the 8, but they scored after that. They have the one throw that Jones throws like perfectly on the money, and the defender's grabbing at it, but we kind of like, Kenny, you kind of got to play through that. That's why we paid for you.
Yep.
What do you think about Kenny yelling at Daniel Jones on the sideline?
I don't think anything of it.
I want to, but it's yelling on the sideline happens, you know. So it's it'll that clip will be shared like crazy, and you know they'll be like, oh, but that happens, you know. Families fight, you know. Me and you have screamed at each other to the death at times, and it works, like it fights. So I'm not overreacting to that, but part of me also is like, hey man, like he outperformed you today, so like maybe you should chill out on the yelling a little bit, yeah. You know.
I mean, frankly, I like a little bit of motion. You know, Judge even after the game, you know, one of the beat reporters asked a good question about, you know, do you get upset after these heart-wrenching losses? And he was like, you know, you can't be too high, you can't be too low, you got to, like, stay in the middle. And it's all about the process and evaluating. And it's like, well, Joe, it's also about winning football games. It's not just about a process. You know, what do you say? Like, do you want Joe Judge reacting that way, where you're just medium level and you're even cool, or I would rather my $17 million wide receiver showing a little bit of emotion that he's not involved enough and, you know, that he's frustrated. I don't know, and frankly, I don't care.
Yeah, that happens as long as it doesn't bleed into anything else. Yeah. You know, like and with anything, you know, with the New York Giants, you get the Odell comparisons, and people, and this is my issue, is like, you know, there's certain things with Odell that did that got attention that really didn't deserve attention, but there was also things that Odell did that did deserve a ton of attention. I don't think yelling on like Odell throwing his helmet at the sideline and proposing to the kicking net thing, that's fine. You know, like, you could be mad. You know, you yell at each other, you figure stuff out. But it was like, don't sabotage your team. But anyway, I'm not trying to talk about Odell. Basically, what I'm saying is, like, I'm fine with them yelling. There's going to be jokes made about it. But as long as it doesn't become more than that. Like, yeah. Here's what I would worry about a lot more than that, far as locker room-wise. I'm very interested to see what Pepper's snap count is. He needs to be playing more snaps, you know?
Yeah.
He's on a contract year. Like, he is going to be resentful if him on a contract year, they're reducing his snaps. You know? So that's why I'd be worried about. But yeah, I mean, but that's what my kind of reaction to it was like, Golly, why are you yelling? Like, Jones outperformed you today. He gave you a couple opportunities that you screwed, you had a drop, and another play, you didn't make a play on it. You can argue about, you know, a guy grabbing your arm, but like, you know, they do drills for that. And, you know, you were supposed to be that guy.
Yeah. Speaking of locker room issues, Danny King just sent us a nice text message from a Zach Rosenblatt tweet. Kadarius Toney posted this to his Instagram story. I will read what that caption is in a second. He was visibly upset at one point on the sideline in the second half, speaking with Joe Judge. Nothing at a Golladay Jones level, but clearly wasn't happy. And the caption reads that Kadarius Toney posted on his Instagram story, I don't be mad shit. Oh, hold on. There should be a comma after mad. I don't be mad. Shit just be lame to me for real. So
hold on. Let me pull it up so I can see what it says. What it
He might have already deleted it, but
it's a post from Slime Quotes that was posted on December 4th.
I don't be mad. Shit just be lame to me.
Let's not overreact to that.
Yeah,
they lost. You know, I'm not going to be happy. But there was... I'm interested to see what happened with Tony. I don't know, man. It's Tony's not involved. Like, he's played two games for the Giants as a first-round pick and has negative 2 yards.
Yep.
And 2 targets, and those two were manufactured targets, not him being a part. And he was out there tonight. You know, I don't know how much, but he was a part of the offense for at least the first half.
People were asking, is he out there? I'm like, yeah, he's out there. And he was, like, lining up as a regular wide receiver. You know, there were times where it didn't look like he necessarily knew where he was going and what was happening. I found it to be curious, too, that this is just nitpicking. I found it to be curious, too, that Daniel Jones half the time had to tell Nate Solder what to do. And, you know, and it's crazy how
Washington's defensive ends are so stupid. Why would they not bull rush Nate Solder? They tried to beat him around the corner every time. They're so dumb.
You know, and how much of a disaster that offensive line could have been tonight, especially with Nick Gates going out. How much of a disaster that could have been with protections and not getting calls. It seemed like Jones did a really good job of administering those calls. For out of all the things that could go wrong this year, and again, this just goes back to the initial point that we had to start off the show. All the crap that could go wrong this year with this team, most notably the line, Jones, that is the least of our worries right now. And that is the thing that is most frustrating. Like that, the offensive line is the least of our issues. And I also can't stand the whole talking point of, oh, well, the rushing offense they're not getting going. Daniel Jones had multiple explosive plays tonight and should have had 2 rushing touchdowns tonight. That's part of the rushing offense. So.
Yeah. Yeah. What else did I want to hit on? So you're talking about the offensive line. Lemieux and Gates being out, they have to add someone.
Yeah.
Right now, their only backup on the interior is Matt Skura.
I mean, they could call up Kenny Wiggins from the practice squad.
Kenny Wiggins isn't on the practice squad. He got cut.
Oh. Bummer.
Which I would rather have Chad Slade than Kenny Wiggins.
Well, to get Chad Slade back in here.
Maybe even John Halampio. How about that?
That could be a possibility, and I'm saying that with somewhat of an informed opinion.
Sources say he may have got a phone call during camp. Anyways, yeah, so let's go through it. QB, we talked about QB. It sucks. You know what sucks is that I'm not talking about how Daniel Jones is 5-0 versus Washington and rubbing in their face and gloating and saying, like, how about your primetime stats on Daniel Jones now? Like, this should primetime matters, you know? Like, it leaves a mark on players. It's the reason why Taylor Heinicke played, like, a decent game versus Tampa Bay in the wildcard game, and, like, the whole country loves him. Because it was right in front of everyone's eyes. Primetime changes the view of people. And I know everyone saw Jones tonight, but they don't remember because he lost.
Yep.
You know, and that sucks. That really sucks. Garrett, again, I'm not going to nitpick at Garrett. I think
what's crazy?
I thought they changed offensively. They didn't run stick like crazy.
I was about to come in here and have a celebration of I told you so. I said that this offense was going to move the ball more if they had opportunities. I said that if you let Daniel Jones be more aggressive on early downs, that he is going to do well. I said all of these things. I put it on a pedestal. And they blew it. And that's, honestly, I'm more pissed about that than anything.
Yeah.
They ruined it for me.
What'd you think of Saquon tonight? He looked a lot better than last week.
He did. He had the explosive play. But, you know,
There was one play. Remember the one play where he, like, gets the hole and then he, like, he literally turns to the side? I was so pissed off at Ben Bredesen. Or Billy Price and Will Hernandez. They're just sitting there. They're just standing there, like, waiting for Saquon to be tackled. And it's like, you guys could have blocked someone. He might have been able to, like, spring that for a play or something.
Not counting the 41-yard gain, Saquon Barkley had 12 attempts for 16 yards. So, I mean, when is it okay to have a conversation? And I understand the run blocking may not be there yet. I fully understand it. when can we have a conversation about him? And it's still too early because he's coming back from the major knee injury.
Can we get a play-by-play of like what his carries were? Like, let me look at it.
I mean, I can control F his name on the. On the what do you call it?
Like just like we got 5 game book. Yards on this one, -2. I don't know. Let's not do a Saquon thing.
No, I don't
watch film before.
It's not fair. It's not fair to do it yet.
Well,
listen,
you might even just be totally wrong. We'll Tuesday mailbag. We'll watch the film and
right.
See what it looks like.
But there has to come a point where it doesn't matter whose fault it is. It could be the offensive line's fault. It could be Saquon Barkley not being efficient enough. Seth Walder did tweet this out tonight that the rushing yards over expected metric that I really like, that is an extra metric that is able to calculate, you know, what can an individual running back do with his own individual performance in terms of the rushing yards that he's expected to get on a given play. Wayne Gallman has been better the last couple of years than Saquon Barkley. And this is not to say that Wayne Gallman's a better running back than Saquon Barkley. He's not. But when can we have a conversation? And I'm asking this just, I don't want an answer. When can we have a conversation about Saquon Barkley and associating him with ineffectiveness?
Tuesday.
I still think it's too early, but I want to pin it for later in the season and not be afraid to have the conversation.
Sports Management Worldwide is the global leader in online sports business education. We teach people how to work on the business side of sports. All of our classes are taught by industry professionals. Your mentors have been in the game you want to work in and done the jobs you want to do. SMWW has had graduates work for all 32 NFL teams, including Patrick Hanscom, who is an area scout for the Giants. SMWW can train you to be an agent, a scout, work in the front office, work in the film with digital video editing tool XOS Thunder used by all 32 teams. Learn from people like former Tampa Bay GM Mark Domenech, football analytics gurus Aaron Schatz, and Mike Tanier of Football Outsiders. Football player development from former NFL coach Steve Fairchild. Learn the skills and knowledge you need to know to work in football at all levels and turn your dreams to reality. They may not be able to teach Dexter Lawrence from jumping off sides and not ruining my entire night,
wow,
and my entire week, but they can teach you to work in football. You know what? You know what? Also, that sucks. If he doesn't jump off sides, we're forgetting all the bad things and we're just celebrating. And he jumped off sides. Like, I was dancing around my house and then I see a penalty, you know, and he almost misses the second one. And my brother, who was watching with me, he's a Washington football team fan. And every once in a while, he'll play a Washington podcast in front of me, and I swear he does it just to, like, be like, you know, like, I listen to it. It's J.P. Finley's. And I remember one time I was just making fun of him. They were talking about Hopkins as a kicker and because he missed some kicks in the preseason about replacing him. They talked about him for, like, 15 minutes. And I was like, who cares? Well, they're talking about a kicker for 15 minutes. And then I'm like, oh, my gosh. Hopkins, you have to kick a field goal. He's going to miss. He misses. And Dexter Lawrence totally ruins my freaking night. Apply for free at smww.com and use the discount code GIANTS for $50 off the course of your choice. They offer courses in football, baseball, basketball, soccer, and more. If you have always dreamed of a job working in sports, Sports Manager Worldwide can help you. From sports betting to esports, sports broadcasting. Hey, maybe I should take a course. They have the what you know and the who you know to get into the game you love. That really is an unacceptable penalty. Like, you know, we kind of say unacceptable kind of gets overused a little bit, you know. But the Dexter Lawrence, like, that's an unacceptable. Like, false starts, they're unacceptable, but they happen. Jumping off sides on a field goal is unacceptable. And it's not like he was jumping off to try and jump over the line like one of those guys. It's just like he just, like, I don't know what his deal was.
Yeah. Ball's right in front of you. Can't do it. I mean, I think that goes without saying. So if you're mad at us for, you know, not talking about it earlier in the show, I mean, it goes without. What's the analysis there? I mean, don't do it. Don't Darius Slayton.
Don't
drop the ball. Golden Tate had a tweet. You want to talk about it?
I looked it up and I just didn't even know what it meant.
I don't. I'm having trouble with it. So maybe
he said, I can literally hear Joseph Jove at this very moment saying, you win, quotations, you win when you keep from losing.
You win when you stop losing. I mean, in just simple terms, I think that's what that means.
I don't know if it's a shot at Joe Judge or a promotion of Joe Judge.
It seemed like, looking at his previous tweets, it seems like he was rooting for the Giants. But that's certainly a philosophical quote, and I could certainly hear Joseph Judge saying it.
That's not an anti-judge. That's a pro-judge tweet. Now that you're talking about,
you win when you keep.
I just got to snap at 2 a.m. So get Roman.com.
Nice. Yeah, get Roman.
um, Let's finish it off. My heart breaks for Nick, dude. Like, it really does. You know, he broke, you know, lower leg fracture. I just feel for him, man. And I saw Andrew Thomas waving for them to come, and he was waving urgent. And then I see a 65 on the ground, man, and my heart just sunk. Like, I don't even remember anything that happened on the rest of that drive, because I was just like, I feel so bad for him, dude. The journey he's been through, and it's not over. You know, Joe Judge said with Saquon, it's going to be a hell of a story for 26. It's going to be a hell of a story for 65. You know, he's a part of this team going forward. He is a captain. You know, like, was just so proud of what he's done, you know. And, you know, I tweeted out earlier that, like, Nick Gates has started at every position in the NFL besides left tackle, which is what he played at Nebraska. And Danny King replied, and it reminded me of, like, hey, like, I remember Danny King being like, my player to watch for this preseason game is Nick Gates, and then that turning into it. So I feel bad for him. I reached out to his brother because, you know, I wanted to give them space, but I was like, hey, man, giving you guys your space, but, you know, thinking about you guys. And he just say from every, you know, he said, rough night for the family. He was in pretty good spirits. From everything we are hearing, this is a lot better than having a soft tissue injury. So fingers crossed. So he'll be back. And, I mean, if you've counted out Nick Gates at this point, you're stupid. So don't count it out going forward. I want to try and do something for him. Is that too much, you know?
We'll think of Jones something.
Listeners, you know?
Maybe make a shirt. I don't know.
Maybe we'll get all of our listeners. Okay, here's something. Now, this is late in the podcast. Maybe we'll kind of get them all to tweet Nick Gates versus the world at, like, a certain time.
I like that. We can maybe do that.
So Friday at 7 p.m., tweet out Nick Gates versus the world. And schedule we'll post it. That in the Patreon and stuff. So, like just remember, and we'll do that.
Nick Gates versus the world, and then tag him at the end of it. Because if you tag somebody before putting any other text on Twitter, then it, like, doesn't show up on, like, your main page. So, yeah. Nick Gates versus the world, tag him at the end of the tweet.
7 p.m. Friday, Nick Gates versus the world, and then at NickGates77.
Yeah. And the crazy thing is that, you know, he's kind of part of our team, you know? You know, we're talking Giants, and, you know, it's kind of crazy that I almost think of, you know, any time that somebody talks about Nick Gates, you know, I do take a certain amount of pride of, like, you know, we're kind of tagged along with it at times, too. And, you know, so... obviously he's done the work and he's grinded, and, you know, you and Danny noticed that play and just talked about it, you know, and obviously he did the actual work, but, you know, it's been really cool to build that reciprocal relationship with him where I think he even recognizes us. And, you know, you pointing him out in the O-line breakdowns last year, and, you know
what's frustrating
out, yeah,
is frustrating. Because I count on Nick, the week one O-line report, because I knew he was going to move the left guard. And I was like, we're not really going to focus on Nick, you know. It's like, I was like, because there's going to be plenty of film to watch of him next week when he's at left guard. And
even like, though he was, like, one of the best linemen out there week one.
Yeah, I was like, there's just bigger things to, like, talk about than Nick Gates playing well, you know. Like, and so, all right, that was emotional. But 7 p.m., Nick Gates versus the world at NickGates77. So
schedule it.
I want there to be at least 100 of that. I mean, we've the download numbers have been through the roof, so... Now, will everyone have listened to the end of the podcast by then? I don't know, but we'll post it to our Patreon to do that. So do it for Nick. Anything else, man?
Got to be better around the board. Sorry if you listen to this and...
Is the season over?
No. No, it's not. Bad division. You know, root for... everybody else to lose in this division this weekend. You know, that's the alternative. Obviously, the schedule gets a little tough in the middle stretch. Obviously, week three is a little bit of a weaker opponent, but, you know, it gets tough a little bit in the middle stretch. But, you know, it's not over. You can't say it's over. I mean, it's not.
Daniel Jones looked very good, and this defense that made no plays tonight has a lot of playmakers.
Yeah.
Let's beat Atlanta. Let's beat Atlanta and move forward from there. You know, we're talking about, you know, people turning on Joe Judge and stuff. Well, guess what? You got 15 more games regardless. So let's see what it looks like. Let's see, but it has to get better. It can't, you can't draw this game up to a field goal at the end. There's stuff that has to be different.
Yep.
You know, not just executing better. There has to be stuff that's different, man. So, all right, we'll be back because it is Thursday Night Football. We'll be back Tuesday with cleaning up this with the film and then a mailbag next week. And then, you know, we'll do some YouTube live streams and stuff. So, you guys know where to find us. There'll be all types of content. I wanted to quit, but I was like, you know, tomorrow I'll wake up and get back to the grind. We appreciate you guys. We really do. We really do. I appreciate you guys more after losses than wins, to be honest, because it's like it feels like a family. But we appreciate you guys. We'll see you Tuesday. Enjoy a weekend. Enjoy your weekend. You know, it's a long weekend if you consider the Giants part of not the weekend. Appreciate you guys. See you next time. Until then, let's go Big Blue.
John Boy Media has a new teammate. It's iHeart Podcasts. What does it mean? John Boy Media shows can now be found over at the Dan Patrick Show. That's right. How cool is that? Wake and Jake and Jimmy's Three Things have joined the iHeart Podcast and Dan Patrick Show family. And the best part, they'll still continue to be the same shows you know and love. If you couldn't tell, we're excited about this one, and thank you guys for listening.